Cybercrime and what is happening on the cybercrime front. First of all, I think it's important to indicate that the issue of cybercrime is an issue that has been part of the delivery agreement, wherein, as the police, we work together with a specific issue with the Department of Communications, State Security, and those in the JCPS cluster. It's not necessarily led by ourselves, but we are in a joint and a collaborative way looking at the issue of cyber crime. In terms of in the police specifically, we have developed capacity within the DPCI, within our commercial crime section, to begin to be able to respond to the issues of cyber crime by employing more personnel, skilled personnel, to begin to form our cyber laboratories to be able to deal with issues of evidence relating to cyber crime. We also have our cyber crime capacities within the crime intelligence divisions, and I think they might want to elaborate in terms of the efforts within the crime intelligence section relating to cybercrime. There's also a lot of cooperation and collaboration with the industry and the banking industry in particular, where we deal and we coordinate with them whilst we're trying to build our own capacities within the police. There's also a lot of cooperation and exchanging of ideas and expertise with our international policing partners. There has been offers of training from the FBI on this field in particular. There's also been interaction engagements with countries such as China as well on the issue of cyber crime. What we've also done is that we have engaged our human resource development division to begin to introduce in the basic the issue of digital or collection of digital evidence. So that is one of the concrete steps that we've tried to engage, so that the issue of cybercrime and digital evidence becomes something that our members on the ground can be familiar with and is able to handle the evidence in the same way like you would get other evidence. It is so that it is a growing trend that criminals are making use of cyber space to commit crime. We've also, within the commercial crime, where most of the cybercrime investigations are conducted, sent our members on what we call a first responders course, where we've also equipped them with very specialized equipment in order to be able to respond to those cybercrime incidents. So there are quite a few things happening, but I think there's still a long way for us, both as a police and in general as a government or JCPS, to go on the cybercrime front. It is a space or a method that more and more criminals are beginning to exploit, and it is something that will grow as we make as advances as a country on this technological front. That is just in short on the issue of cybercrime. On the other question of the FIC, what we'll be referring to is there the detection of suspicious transactions, the STRs. Those reports indeed are generated by the Financial Intelligence Center, and there is coordination and communication of those suspicious transaction reports with the police and specifically with our commercial crime section. Once again, who then takes responsibility for coordinating and distributing and seeing that there's investigation around those those reports. There is, over and above the suspicious transaction reports, there is a fairly good cooperation between the FIC and the police in the form of the AUCS specifically. It also needs to be noted that the FIC forms part of the anti-corruption task team that has been set up.
Have there been any arrests or any cases as a result of FIC reports since the existence of the FIC? And if so, how many?
Madam Chair, I'm not in a position to answer to that question. Or if I could be given an opportunity to just go and check the records and be able to respond in detail. There are some cases, and one that comes to mind is the Tatenbaum case that is actually to a large extent driven and led by the FIC, but it's not in the prosecution phases as yet. But if I could be allowed to get some, to just go and get the details. I don't have it now, thanks.
Madam Chair, I'll just respond to three questions in short, and then the rest will be dealt by the three divisional commissioners. Firstly, starting with the case of the members from Organized Crime West Rand, I think we shall have seen maybe today on the news that those members have now been convicted. They will be facing their sentences by the 7th of November. So they have been convicted of, the first one, the Kennel, will have been convicted of 8 counts. This includes the count of racketeering. Racketeering is what we call organized crime. With him, he is convicted for leading, for management, so there is a portion that deal with the management of this group. So all three of them have been convicted of various offenses, inclusive of racketeering. For them, we'll obviously be dealing with supporting the activities of this leader. And among the crimes that they have been convicted of, it include theft, fraud, and certain other activities dealing with scheduled medicine, that the drugs that they were dealing with. So they have been convicted, and then a sentence will be coming on the 7th. I think the question went further to ask about the other officials who shall have been arrested in the process of dealing with hijacked goods. It is not clear. The facts doesn't sound very clear to us, but the one that we know of an intelligence officer who has been arrested in a form of hijacking is actually involving the fake cigarettes. It would appear that maybe we might not be talking about the same matter. If that is the case, I might need further details so that we follow on that one. Madam Chair, on the issue of the ATMs, just in addition to what the National Commissioner have indicated, in a sense, it's not only in Gauteng where these things are happening. Limpopo is included. I think in Limpopo, we shall recall, there was even a time when our members, when they were responding to the ATM, they were shot. In Limpopo, there has always been these arrangements that they must be patrolling closer to those ATM. And I think the deputy at that time even came to Gauteng to come and arrest them in Gauteng, helped by those in Gauteng province. So there is that interaction. At times, one might not always see, because when you charge them, you join all these cases from different provinces and then you centralize. At time, you might only think that it is Gauteng, whereas they are also being charged on offenses committed elsewhere. because they will be centralized and dealt with, as an example, in one high court, Pretoria or in Limpopo. So as an example, I can just show that the ATM of Vryheid, where six individuals were arrested, and we found two AK-47, one R5, and then you go over to in Limpopo itself, in Makado case 17910 of 2010, where we had these three individuals for CIT that were also unfortunately passed on during the exchange of gunfire with the law enforcement. But three R5 rifles were taken, and a lot of magazines. And the other one, as an example, the CIT again in Makado, in December 683, where four individuals were arrested. Obviously, they seized pistols and their motor vehicles. This is just an example of the incidences where crime intelligence was involved, but it's a number of them that this type of criminals don't operate in one province. They move all over. And then the involvement of the police officials and their arrest and prosecution. On this one, we don't have the details, but it shall be taken note of that there is such an incident where officials were arrested. What I do not have is the specific figures, how many and where. So there are those incidents where they were arrested. The last one is supplementary to the answer that the National Commissioner has provided on the question of whether we are winning the war on drugs. I think obviously this question can be posed to both the police and the community in general, whether we are winning the war against drugs. I'm saying this because there are two streams when you deal with the drugs. There is the demand to have the drugs, and there is a supply of this drug. As an example, Madam Chair and honorable members, there is this Chicago gang boss called Alphonse Scarface Capone. The Chicago gang boss. Yeah, his name is called Alphonse Scarface Capone. This individual is said to have murdered a certain one of the gang members called Tony Lombardo. There is a statement that he used to, when he go public, utter it. He was saying, he is like any other businessman, saying, all I do is supply a demand. So for him, his involvement in drug activities, say, I'm a business person, all what I do is supply the demand. So it in practice, he said, when you arrest one dealer, and then the others are happy that one is removed, the market is open, so you generate another three or four, and then you look at the from the police point of view, page 89 of the report, you'll see we say that in this financial year, compared with the previous financial year, there was 134,840 arrests in the previous financial year. This has increased to 150,673. So all this information, when you go backwards, there is always an increase of the number of arrests, which means that we are arresting more. But as to whether we are winning is a question that I think jointly the police and the community need to be answering. It would appear that the police are severing this supply chain, but it would appear that there is still this demand. There is a lot of demand. I think there is a need for more education. People to say, no, we are not going to demand drugs. And I think if there is no demand, then this supply, nobody will be supplying when there is no demand. So I think it's an area where we might want to be working more. I just needed to be also painting this particular picture. The rest of my colleagues will deal with specific answers in their environment. Thanks, Madam Chair.
You have 10 minutes, Ms. Nav, Commissioner.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and honorable members. With regard to corruption in the border environment, over and above what the National Commissioner has said, the medium to long-term project by the Hawks dealing with those syndicates who are operating there, we have embarked on the vetting process of all our officials, Home Affairs, Police, and SARS. We have started this process, I think it was February 2010. Crime intelligence and state security, they are in the process of dealing with that. Coming to the increased in number of personnel in the border environment, it's not only the police who have increased their numbers. Home Affairs have also increased their numbers, especially in the commercial ports of entries. SARS have also done the same. And to us, it means that increase of home bodies who are active, it also serves as a deterrent to the would-be criminals who will be trying to move around or across our common borders. And as a result, we know that that little ground which we were not covering previously, we are now covering it. Those few cars which we were not searching previously, we are beginning to search those vehicles. While we know that we are not covering everything, but at least we have increased our ground coverage in terms of searching all those people. The total
What preventative measures have you put in place against corruption by the members of SARS at the border ports, particularly land border ports. Talking about Oshuk, I drive to Oshuk, it's about 28 kilometers from my place.
Yes.
What measures have you put in place to prevent? I'm really asking. People that were there before I was a member of parliament, they're still there. The masterminds there. Whatever that you bring, they know what you are bringing and they know how to manipulate it. What preventative measures have you put in place?
Yes, Madam Chair, what we have done, we have embarked on the awareness campaign whereby we educate our members about their ongoing practice of corruption, what it will result into. But over and above that, we have felt that it won't be wise for us to can remove them and deploy them elsewhere because we'll be taking a problem elsewhere. We'll rather remove them from our payroll. And that is why we have employed the services of the investigators, our crime intelligence and our Hawks, to start initiating specific projects to deal with those individuals. Because we have done a lot in terms of educating our members about the corruption and also to discourage them to get involved in those activities. So we felt that now is the time that we remove them completely from our payroll. And that is why we allow that process by the Hawks to can continue, and also that we remove them from the system. This is what we have done.
I don't know, I just want to understand. You're keeping them there because you want one day to arrest them. But my problem is that whilst you're keeping them there, they're probably teaching others. Surely, the police service is very big. Why don't you take them somewhere where they will not be able? I mean, it does not stop you investigating them, but to put them there, to me, it means you are just prolonging, because you don't even know when you're going to arrest them. So why don't you put them somewhere? It's just like my dear friend here, he says communities one day will understand that they must stop. They are not going to stop. As we society develops, also sin. I'm talking sin. Sinners are getting multiplied. People are getting more and more into sin. So you're not going to have a situation where you wake up one day, all of a sudden human beings have changed to be good. They are getting worse instead.
And so when we visit police stations, for instance, police stations that we visited recently, the station commander will have been 2 months at the police station, the branch commander 4 months at the police station, and so on. You seem to be rotating those. But what about these that are at the border ports? I mean, border gates. Why are they there forever? And they have learned to deal with, to manipulate whatever. And they know that the processes from the department that you do this, this happens, and therefore they're manipulating them. I'm really asking, why are you rotating everybody except for the people at the border post or border ports?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. Yes, going back to what Honourable Mulileki have said, and then I'll come to what Madam Chair has said with regard to the rotation of the members. We believe that investigation is a long process. Once we have identified a certain individual, to ensure that there is a chain of evidence which is not, you know, unnecessarily being disturbed and so forth, that is why we allow the process to can continue to deal with those people. For example, those members who were arrested previously by the Hawks, that investigation started long time ago. But the Hawks have managed to can build a very strong case so that when they present in court, we are sure that we are going to get at least a conviction with regard to those matters. So that is why at times you find that we know about a certain individual, but we don't hastily act on that particular individual. Yes, rotation, Madam Chair, it is allowed in the service that we can rotate members to other environment and so forth. We do allow it to happen in this fashion, whereby, for example, those members who wants to leave that environment, the ports of entry environment, then we allow them to can go. And then those whom maybe we don't get anything from them, we don't get anything which we can incriminate them or prosecute them, but we know that these people, they are highly involved in criminal activities. Yes, we do interact with neighboring police stations to say that, how about we change these members who can come there, and then we take the new members who are recruits from the college, and then we bring them there. But some of the people who are still there for years, some of them, they are the subject of the investigation, and that is why we allow that process. We don't refuse to retreat them. And there is a cooperation between ourselves and the labor unions. We have engaged them, they understand, because all of us, it is their own constituency, it is our members. So we work closely with them. They don't give us any hassle in terms of rotating those members. We are working on that, Madam Chair.
Chair, thanks. Now, I think the question is not whether it's allowed or not. We know it's allowed. The question is, knowing that there are problems, why are you not managing it and removing people, rotating people? Why allow people to become so comfortable in a place that they become the crime boss of that area? That is the point that the chair is also making. It's again an issue of management. Why wait for the crisis to be there before you start doing something about it? I mean, we've been to those borders. Some of those people are like traditional leaders at the borders. I mean, they... I was waiting for that response. They are so entrenched at that border post that they run the border. And they run it because they run a profitable, corrupt business.
And sir, we were informed by the department, maybe before you were in charge, we were informed by the department in a meeting that when the department tried to rotate, they even gave us the name of the border. The unions protested, and the members protested to an extent that you had, the department had to send back those people. So that we did not hear from the members elsewhere. We got it in the meeting here. I want to believe it is in one of our minutes. So we're raising it from that point of view, this matter, to say they actually protested, and unions supported that. It came to our attention as the portfolio committee. And at the time, we even said, surely they will want to go back, because if you remove them, it's a day's work not paid for, because they are actually working a system of, how much have I made today, or I've made today. And that's what is happening. And so we really are raising this matter because some of us stay there. I come from Mpumalanga. The people that come from Swaziland to get grants from South Africa, they're paying. Every grant pay day, they are coming to South Africa to collect their grants, they go back. And when they go back with the little what they have received, they pay. It's a norm, it's normal. It's not even something that you need to be in the intelligence in order to know it's happening. It's a matter of arresting, period. And then I'm saying that it is happening, pay day, go there. When it is day for payment of grants, go to Oshuk, you will see it happening. Except that they will know who you are and if they know you. But if they don't know you, you go there in your suit like you are today, not wearing your uniform, you will see it for yourself. It's happening. And people that have been there for ages. They will know when the National Commissioner is coming, and therefore they will know what to do. They might probably know Mrs. Chikunga now because I come from the area, and therefore they will know what to do. But if it is somebody else, you will see it for yourself. I've seen it. This is the issue we're raising. Why are these people from yourself, not because they've done anything wrong? Why is it not that they are rotated, that they do not become masterminds in those border posts? Because that is what they have. Some, not all, but many have become masterminds. National Commissioner.
Before the commissioner responds, if I heard him correctly before, you said that we were told in the meeting. I don't want to say the member who was responding was lying to us. He was not telling the truth, because if that was happening in the meeting, and it's minuted, and we have a problem of saying we have agreed because they are their members. They are our members. They are their members. What does that mean? Does it mean that whatever the union says, they accept? Does that mean that the management listen to what the unions are saying before they take an action? Is that a line of management that they are taking when it comes to this topic?
Now, Chairperson, I will plead here with the committee to allow the police this space. Chairperson, we have several projects. I've just given the results of some of them. When you go to the borders, you're not talking about police. You're talking about the whole government, not just police. They're part of the whole governance of... I know we'll be invited to come. We're not even leading the border issue, as you would know, Madam Chair. The South Stars on the border management and everything. So... these 24 was a hell of a mix, not just police, but police, SARS themselves, Home Affairs, Agriculture, everybody. Everybody. Now, Madam Chair, you might know the police because you work with the police. And you remove that police, you send another one, they groom him next day. So we've got several projects that are going, Madam Chair, to these borders. Even the removal of a particular member might begin to jeopardize that project. We have begun to see the results, Madam Chair. Under those circumstances, under those pressures, Madam Chair, of knowing so and so, maybe police might be allowed their leading with SARS, with everybody, with Home Affairs. Maybe that group must be allowed, especially to these bigger borders, such as Oshuk, Libombo, Beirut, Bridge, so to work on them, so that we don't remove a South African police member. That is, we take the whole lot, Madam Chair, which might begin to jeopardize if you go there, you take your own police, and everybody else gets cleverer, and all that kind of put in you. So that will be the plea, Madam Chair, under circumstances, to say our units that are working there must be allowed to put. We have seen the results, Madam Chair, in a big, big way. These people that were arrested, they've been there when Adam and Eve were there. So, yeah, so they were there long time. And it helps to allow the investigation to go on without disturbing that particular syndicate.
Thank you, National Commissioner. And are you giving us any time frame so that we don't ask you next time you appear before us? Any time frame?
This one, there were, but it took between 4 and 5 years. It's a long project. You might know your police says they collect money, but you might not know that even the documents to get the pension are produced there, are produced by the people that are there. You still go to that border, the customs people, they just go in, nothing is done and all that. So it's a whole lot of long projects, Madam Chair, that are taking place there, and you will sit there and listen and get frustrated yourself when they tell you the story that Mopan Pelamato, they want to give us 8 months. They're saying that after 2 years. Madam Chair, that's the nature of investigating syndicates and organized crime. Because some of them are not even there at that border. They're in the headquarters in Pretoria. Yeah. They'll be in the headquarters of South African Police. They'll be in the headquarters of DERCO in Pretoria, Madam Chair. They're producing those documents and all those kind of things. We have been told with a group of young, I'm not going to say where and who, of young police who are refusing the promotion. Mina, there are two things I know about police they love, promotion and salary increase. We love that. But when you find the police refusing a promotion, that immediately gives you... there are those. So you leave them there, Madam Chair. Refuse and all that kind of thing, and then you go and find the reason why. You go and find the reason why, and you end up with what the general has been saying, where they end. But you leave them there. I'm promoting and calm, leave them there. Why certain to refuse a promotion? So there are such slow snail pace projects, Madam Chair, but if you rush them, you fail yourself.
Thank you, National Commissioner. We definitely are going to have the meeting anyway, where all of us will be present, all departments responsible for borders. So I think some of these issues will be discussed there. We do understand what you are saying, but it's worrying that these things are happening every day, every minute, every hour, and they might take so long. By the time the country shall have lost millions and billions of money, and that is worrying. And surely from a point of view of being politicians, surely it is worrying. Good as I understand what the National Commissioner is saying, long-term projects and so on, but it's really worrying. We're losing this money every day, like I'm saying. The last one, I'm giving you 10 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll start with the first question was on why no entry performances on target. It's there on page 7 of the document that was presented by General Libya. And the issue of ATM bombings shifting to the rural areas, it was explained, I think, by two or three speakers, that criminals take advantage of soft areas. If you close them in the urban areas, they'll obviously go to more softer areas. Then the issue of have all the CIM, the new crime intelligence members been vetted. We made recently 1,181 appointments. Of course, they are not all vetted, because the problem we have at vetting is that the strength that we have is really less than the amount of work that they have to do. We only have got 106 vetting members nationally, and they have got their priorities in terms of DPCI, SCM, ORS, PSS, the ministry's office, you name it. So what we are going on now is that within the members that we're recruiting now, we want to prioritize staffing of vetting first in order to answer to the question of capacitating the vetting environment. Then, therefore, my answer is they're not all vetted, because there's not enough staff to deal with that. How many vehicles do we have presently, and how much fuel are we talking about? We've got 1,927 vehicles, and the amount of fuel that was used in the past period is 56,429,721. So that's...
What was the kilometers?
Well, that question then, ma'am, we'll have to go back to go and check. I can't have that answer now. Cooperation at station level. To shorten this question, it's going to be a lot of questions, and I don't want to give Dr. De Kock, the specialist, to answer it. It will be long. The issue is, if you check all the police stations that are best performing in the country today, it is those police stations, Madam Chair, as you said, who the station commander will first thing in the morning sit with the IO and discuss, and he gets the crime picture in his area. Those are the stations that are best performing. Therefore, it will tell you that the stations that are non-performing are the ones that are not doing those practices. It's not that there is no coordination between us and the police. There is that coordination, but some police commissioners or police...
But you are contradicting yourself. You are saying stations that are performing are those that are meeting, you know, and so on, but some are not. Then you are saying there is coordination.
No, I'm saying those that are non-performing, therefore, are not following that process of sitting first thing in the morning with the IOs and getting the intelligence picture. In some stations, there is no coordination.
You know, we often hear that SAPS goes away from here. Then they complain about the fact that we don't really know what we're talking about, and we ask the same questions over and over again. The fact of the matter is, this question wasn't that. The question was clear. The question is, we've said to you, you're stating to us what we've just stated to you. We said to you, we found that at some police stations, they do not do this. There are no coordination. The question was, what are you doing to ensure and to improve that? As management sitting here, what are you doing? And I'm not looking at you alone, because it's also about station managers. It's also about those people who are responsible to appoint station managers, those people who are responsible to keep station managers accountable. It's about that as well. That is, you're just giving back to us what we've been given to you in the question. We said to you when we asked the question that it's not happening. Now you're telling us where they perform well, it's happening. Where they're not performing well, it's not happening. We told you that. We can tell you that. We agree with you on that. The question is, what are you doing as managers, what you are getting paid for to do, to order and to improve that situation? That is what we're asking.
Well, from my side, the crime intelligence, madam,
I have a little addition to add to that. I see what you're trying to do, but Honourable Annalise is quite right. You know, wanting to know what you're doing. I specifically would like to know. I mean, you say you've done the research. You know that people, station heads who do not do these things, have stations that fail. So the question has to be asked, why did you put them there, and why have you kept them there? Are you removing station heads who are not delivering? Because we keep on and on and on going to stations where the station head has basically destroyed the station. What are you doing about it?
Besides, what makes you to think that we believe what you're saying? There's been so many bad things happening in this program. Crime intelligence head is facing serious charges, reading about these mabasos and so on and so forth. And when we go to the stations, this which we're reading about and this which is happening is reflected at the station level. It is reflected there. That's a fact. And the unfortunate thing, as we have said, is that this is what matters. Please, where you think we're going to matters that we should not discuss in an open meeting, don't be afraid to tell us, National Commission. We're politicians, we're not yourselves. However, these things are happening at that level and they are reflected at the station level. Many of the people are supposed to be collecting crime intelligence information, work as clerks at station level. And that is all. This is what we get when we visit police stations. National Commission, one thing for sure is that whatever question that we ask is related to what we see at the station. And when if it is many of the stations, then we begin to want. And believe you me, where we see positive things, we'll say them. Archives, Pretoria Central, Johannesburg Central, it made us very happy because these are two largest police stations in the country. Section 13 stores. Even the sub-stores, sub-safe, well-arranged, clean, and so on, except that they allocated a very junior constable to be in charge. However, these are other things that we are seeing. So we're relating these questions to the things that we are seeing at the station. And some of these are a reflection of what is happening at national level, really. Because if you're going to have heads of these, you know, being investigated, then we're getting this that even people that are appointed are not vetted.
Madam Chair, I don't want to sound prophetic. Maybe one will come back to this subject one day. Madam Chair, the South African police was established in 1913. We are turning centenary the year after the centenary next year. 1913, Madam Chair. And out of that 1913, 100 years, let's agree, 100 years, we're talking with the management of 2 years. At least that you see here. Yes, yes, Madam Chair, I agree. Same. This question has been coming. This question has been coming. You were there. There is a term within this management, Madam Chair, the Vava Zay. We're Siabuzana. We do ask one another, Vava Zay, when this was happening, when this was happening, when this was happening. Vava Zay is a big term there. Madam Chair, I'll expand one day. I'm saying 100 years, 24 months on the thing with this management. One question that has been asked time and again is the very same question. What is the coordination in the morning, and the instruction has been given for this coordination? But we went to one station, and I think it was a warrant officer who was told that Pedro was coming and said, who is that? Mshelezela. Yeah, that's the kind of the people. But you sure, what Mshelezela is born in our Pedro. So that's a kind of, Madam Chair, of bringing and taking everybody on board. Maybe someday, with all the shortcomings you are raising, you see, and all that, we'll have to share. What do you think are the positive stories in the South? It's not true that those stories don't exist.
as you say, that they are existing. But take them there and put them bare on the table of things that this management all has agreed to say. Gabuzwana, that's good, but bayasho kwabona mesibathaya abayisasikhona. Sasikhona madam chair. So there is that ukujika kwendlovu. Hayi indlovu. Indlovu. Going forward, the question has been, how do you work without coordinating in the police station? Please go and do it. Others are quicker on it, others batshela lo ucelezila azoyenza yena leyo nto leyo. We have been here Tina for 15 years, as we tell you about. So the problem of finding your shoulders sometimes carrying heavy, it also comes for us going down to the organization that is 100 years old. It's not going to be tomorrow, comrade. Not going to be tomorrow, Madam Chair. It's 100 years old organization. Well, I was looking at the history of all the national commissioners. Go to archives and all. And you see, it's an organization that is old and it's an organization that might not take your generation to reach the satisfaction. Maybe long after we've gone and some of us have gone because it's entrenched in some of the workings. It's a 100-year-old organization. And I don't know if it did have portfolio committees before, this organization. I don't know if it did have portfolio committees for the national commissioners to be grilled, as I heard yesterday, that I'll be grilled today. So, I don't know if they were lucky or they were just doing and happening. I don't know, Madam Chair. So, these new traditions, these new cultures and all those kind of things, it will take time. One thing I would say, you work very hard with your committee, but you won't go when it has the fruits are ripe. We'll all put a serious effort, Madam Chair, we'll all put the serious effort and go forward and all. But I'm raising the wage of the organization that has been there for 100 years.
Yeah, just to, if I may, for the National Police Commissioner's information, there's been a police portfolio committee for 15 years, and I'd like to know if you have any 100-year-old members, because this has gone on and on. This is the police service that's been worked with for many years, and certainly you've had predecessors who've gone through the same processes. So please don't feel as though we're particularly picking on you. It's our job to do our job, and that's what we do. I'm finding this attack quite bizarre.
You see, when we talk society, we can theorize and say a lot of things. We're not expecting this police service to be changed overnight. All what we are asking. For instance, just one example, the good general here in front of me, he says, there are police stations who are coordinated, who are doing very well. And he says there are police stations where coordination does not take place at all. And the question is, what are you doing about that? This is the question. And that thing has nothing to do with history. You are in charge now. I can't say we're running the country now and say, what did our predecessors do? What did people do? We are in charge now. You are the management now. You know these things. You might have been informed by us. The question is, what are you doing? And we know, don't lecture us on things that you know. We know that you're not going to change it overnight. It's not going to be overnight, but it's going to be a process. We agree with that. But what are you doing?
You want them to file.
And National Commissioner, our view is that there must be consequences for any wrongdoing. Consequences. People, when they do wrong things, they must know consequences will there. That is what we are saying. I mean, I'm not talking about what happened yesterday. I mean, as Sunday, the 17th. I'm talking about what is happening today at Police Station X with a manager that is there. somebody who decides to go out and literally give lift to people who are working at a tavern in the morning at 4, and you go and report to the station commander to say, I have seen police van number so and so. It is 4 o'clock. I'm driving from Gauteng Police Award Day, and it was parked there. A person who opened it is not a police member, and people who got in there are not police members. They are working in the tavern, and they delivered them there. Nothing happened. This is what we are saying. There are no consequences. This is what, and we cannot blame the past. I can't blame the past national commissioner, because the station commander at Elukwatini, who I reported, is today at the cluster commander's office, was removed at Elukwatini. She is now in charge of visible policing from the cluster commander's office, and therefore accounting the station commander, who is working at Elukwatini, is senior to her now, by virtue of being there. She goes there to make her feel the hell out of whatever she is demanding, because she's been made senior for performing, for non-performance. And we can't blame the past. I really don't think we can blame the 100 years. We can blame what is happening today. What are the consequences? The station commander at Mayflower, he is relieving stations such as Elukwatini. When the station commander at Elukwatini is not there, he comes to relieve. You can go on and on and on. I have questions. In fact, I don't know whether the people from forensics are here, because National Commission, surely they must be here, the forensic people, because I have questions on specifics and names to say, how did it happen that so and so got promoted after this dismal performance? We have those things, and there is no way we're going to blame any past for now. We're talking about this. And National Commissioner, it is true, when we go to police stations, because of this rotation we're talking about, when they say I'm 2 months old, we say there's been a station commander. We can't accept such excuses, because they're not going to assist us. We will therefore not do our work as members of parliament. We also are doing our work, and we're not volunteering. We are paid. We really are not volunteering. We are paid for being members of parliament. When we talk of a day's work for a day's pay from yourself, that has to start with us earning our salaries and not stealing our salaries. I would never want to be paid for non-performance. I've never, not in my life, been paid for non-performance, whether in politics or as a civil servant, never. I would not start today. And that is why we are doing our work. And I think one has to say that. And a national commissioner, I have my minutes. I write down my remarks. Each time I open the meeting, I highlight the positive things about the subs. I do it consistently and then go on to raise concerns. And there is no way you're not going to do it. We have the constitution that is mandating us to hold the department accountable. And this is exactly what we are doing. Paid for it.
Not only at the committee level do we do that. When we visit police stations and we come across something positive, we highlight that at the station, we highlight it with the cluster, and we highlight it with the province. There are numerous examples of our past visit to Gauteng where we have done exactly that. Where you bring out, and in our reports, in fact, just go and read the reports and see that it's there. Even sometimes in statements in the House, highlighting the positive that is happening. We would love to come to a meeting where we don't have to revisit these issues. And if you've got a complaint about us revisiting the same issues, it is because the problem remains there. If the problems disappear, we will stop revisiting the same issue. It's as simple as that. The chairperson says she's got questions in terms of people being promoted. She talks about the issue about transporting tavern. I can tell you, look at the Western Cape report. One of the worst sub-13 stores we've seen at Robertson Police Station. Less than a month after that visit, the person responsible for that store was promoted. Promotions goes through you, goes through management. And I don't care whether the management has been here a year or 2 years, and Commissioner, with all due respect, we've been telling you over and over again, you might have been here for that number of years. There are many people here who have been here far longer. But the point is there's always been people in those positions. And the issues are the same as they've been 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Madam Chair, the point you ended up is the point I ended up, to say you have given the credit where it is due with this process. I did say that. And Madam Chair, well, the question says it doesn't matter whether it's 100%, and the question here says, who cares? We care about our history. I don't want to put on that one. We care, Madam Chair. If some people don't care about our history, some of us, we do, because we are in troubles because of that history. Especially as a student of history, I'll stick with it. We care. So if some people don't care, thanks for them. Good luck for them. So, but we care for the history. Madam Chair, I sat here, and I want to be heard. I sat here. There are issues that have been raised. We have asked the questions in the police station, why there is this not coordination. We agree with you. That's what I said. I didn't say it because it's 100 years, we're not going to coordinate and bank on 100 years. We even said that provincial commissioners, they know that that's one thing, that the station must know where they are going in the morning, and they must know in the afternoon the path they've walked. These are the things we talk about, Madam Chair, in agreement to say. But the issue I'm raising, sometimes there is not necessarily resistance on that, but go slow with some managers, with some people that are there. And you must remember, all the people that are there on those positions, most of them, more than 90%, were there. So it's not just the change of management, it's also the change of mind, the mental movement of human beings, Madam Chair. But to say it's easy, I'll be lying to say it's easy. Things I've said, we don't get irritated about things. We go and, by the way, we take on board when we go to management things that have been said by the committee and say, fix that. That's a good information and all that. Fix that. We do, Madam Chair. But we do it with 193,000 people. Let me deviate, because it's not true that you are promoting managers, as the member says. By the way, since I came in, Madam Chair, 19,000 people in this organization have been promoted. 19,800 some odds at all levels for last 24 months. It's almost 20,000 people promoted in this organization. So it's not true that we are only promoting managers from all levels at 20,000, Madam Chair. People promoted in this organization.
Well, you can think that, because I think Honorable Annelies said, just in Visit Robinson police station here, we visited the Section 13 stores. Yes, a junior officer. That's a junior officer. And the station commander, I'm talking about the Elukwatini station commander, the one national commissioner, I send an email to you about the number of vehicles, and the head office intervened. She is at the cluster commander's office. That's a fact. It's like that. I can give you the name. She is in charge of visible policing. She goes to Elukwatini to harass the station commander who is performing. Aba, she's performing. I come from Elukwatini. I'm a resident there. I receive services from that police station. She's performing. She's harassed by this one who failed, because now she's in charge of visible policy. This is what we are saying, to say sometimes the promotions, and we're not talking about the senior management. The one that analysis is referring to is definitely not a senior manager. She was there, and she's been promoted. It's just this year that we've been in the Western Cape, in that police station. She's promoted. This is what we are saying, to say it is these things that actually might be making people to feel demoralized. Why must I perform? Why must I do the right things? because in any event, a person who will get the promotion is a non-performer. That's what we are saying. I can tell you, National Commissioner, because I do talk to the station command at Elukwatin, she can't be happy. Because this station command who failed is literally terrorizing her. She wants her to feel. As for now, that station was upgraded. She wants her to feel. She failed completely, dismally. It wasn't coming from myself, National Commissioner. It came from the community. Go to any structure, community structure in the area. They will tell you about the station command. But she is now at the cluster commander's office. This is what I'm saying. This is what we are saying. And we are literally talking. And that is why I'm saying I hope the forensic services people will definitely be here when we ask questions. Because I have names of people. They've responded to us on the Marshall system. They've responded to us. But people that worked there have been promoted. They have been promoted. And I'm not talking about the management. They've been promoted. They're in charge of the Eastern Cape, whatever, Paolo's. They're in charge of whatever. This is what we're asking. Who is promoted on the basis of what? These things are, in fact, we're moving to many other issues. And National Commissioner, we can't blame 100 years. We're talking about things that are happening today. We will always refer to matters that happened before the National Commission. As a matter of fact, National Commission, Sam, you are the accounting officer, yes. But Sam, they talk to the managers that you have at the level of national office. That probably might be letting you down. But it talks to the managers that you have at the provincial office as to how do they climb the ladder to be where they are. This is a question on the basis of merits or what? Because there are many, many national commissioners, people that I can promote today, even from the portfolio committees who we have seen are performing. The station commander of Witbank is one example of a station commander you want to meet. Is the station commander of some of the police stations that we visited, the poorest performing police stations. But when you talk to the station commander himself, he's got this, you can actually see that this person wants to do something, but is let down by the people that are there. I mean, these are the issues that we are raising, to say, how do people reach that stage? And why, when people are not performing, why are people not held accountable for their omissions, for their commissions, and for their actions? This is, probably I come from a profession that really emphasizes this. I have to account for the right things that I do, National Commission, the right things that I do. I have to account for the wrong things that I do. I have to account for the omissions. And that may be the grooming like that made me think that everybody is expected to do that. And it is on the basis of that we're asking. We can't have people who take cars, drive criminals and whoever, or drunkards, or people from taverns, and there are no consequences. You ask iPhone, you would phone the station commander at Comtrack to say, you know, your vehicle has been rotating here for more than 3 hours now. What is happening? You know what he says? She will respond by saying, yes, but the vehicle had been at Elukwatini to buy petrol for 3 hours, for 4 hours. You will accommodate even the fact that in any event at Chrome Drive, there is no mall. Probably it's possible that they might want to go to the bank and take money. But if now it goes to the town, to Elukwatini, to Nkazate, it gives people relief and so on, then you phone. That is the answer that you get. Nothing happens. The consequences. This is what we're talking about. And National Commissioner, we are basing this on what we are saying. We are representing people, unfortunately. But I think we've got to move on. Yeah, because...
Madam Chair, there are consequences. Gauteng, for the last 12 months, has dealt and arrested 330 members of the South African police, not by ICT, not by anybody else, by the members of the South African police, 330 for the last 24 months. So I would not agree that there are no consequences. There are consequences. For the number I'm giving here, Gauteng alone,
Mpumalanga, since this commissioner, 108 now, have reprimanded and others arrested, Madam Chair. So there are consequences within the SAPS for those people that don't do correct things. But Madam Chair, I will shut up with this one. We have to discuss, maybe not today, the issues you are raising of people getting promoted when they've done mess of their work. Madam Chair, the people that were regarded as useless and yet they can perform, not given the space, we'll have to talk about those either. Because there are a lot of people in this organization who were regarded as useless because they're not given the space, Madam Chair. They were told every day that they are useless. As a human being, every morning somebody tells you that you are useless. And those people will have to be given the space then to breathe and grow at a certain given. And indeed, you might have found that person under those conditions of being reminded of how useless it is every day. Not disregarding what you're saying, that there are people that will be not doing their job at the present moment. And indeed, consequences must come. But Madam Chair, there is a huge pool of people in this organization who were not people, nobody regarded them. There is a huge number of those people. So we'll have to talk about, we'll have to know them, that there were such kind of situation in this organization. Unfortunately, maybe I'm told portfolio committees 15 years. I'm talking about 85 years that they were not there. What were happening and all? And all those people that were there before 15 years are in this organization, by the way. There is no dustbin when you have thrown them. They are in this organization. But one last point, Madam Chair. This organization has a list of 4,000 people that have applied to come back and get reinvested, who have left this organization. In going young, 4,000 some odd says, requested to be re-enlisted. They want to come and join this organization. So it's not an outgoing organization, it's an incoming organization. Maybe let's sit down and talk about those things. 193,000 people will have problem. And we want to be told that they're doing that like this one. We'll have to look at that, take consequences. But Madam Chair, there are people that were nobodies in this organization who say, thanks God, at least somebody realizes that we are human beings.
We appreciate that, National Commissioner. However, there are people who really are promoted not on the basis of performance. That's a fact again. And we're giving you examples. They're in positions and they were given a space to operate. If you are a station commander, really, nobody can blame me for not performing. Really, I'm given a platform to perform as a chairperson. If I fail as a chairperson, I can't blame anybody, you know. Sometimes I even wonder, I hear people saying I could not perform. I have my job description. That's one thing about civil service. I have my job description. The small things that I do within my job description should make me able to say I've performed to this far. There's something called job enrichment, which you do on your own. I don't know, I just wanted to say that I agree, National Commissioner, there might be such factors and that we may not know. However, I nobody tells me that the department must come and account on each program. I decide. The Speaker has not told us. We decide that in order to hold the department that has a budget of 58 billion rand and a budget of 23 billion rand for the previous financial year, when there are departments that have 76 million as budget, it comes from myself to do that. So I can actually put myself in the corner and say we're going to have it over a day and that is all, or the department must actually account for the money that is allocated to them in this manner. I accept, National Commissioner, but it takes a person to free himself or herself. We freed ourselves in this country. We did. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next question. Yes. We're all there. We freed ourselves. We would definitely not wait for other people to free us. We had to take up the stones, we had to throw them and so on to free ourselves. And personally, I believe, National Commissioner, that it is me. I have a responsibility myself to ensure that that which is expected from me, I do it to the best of my ability. To the best of my ability. Fail because I'm a human being, but to do it to the best of my ability and enrich it. Enrich it. And nobody will stop me from doing that. But let me go on. I think we have had, I think the last question that we want responded to is the question on the crime intelligence force, because I think the rest will go, will need a response. But for that one, we think we need to respond here in the meeting.
Chairperson, with regard to Mabasa, he's not the boss of the crime intelligence. He was at the crime intelligence head in Gauteng province. He was transferred temporarily last year to the crime intelligence head office as a result of allegations of a criminal investigation that is currently underway. So I am saying allegations, because the case is currently sub judice, we cannot comment on the case. Internally, we have tried to institute disciplinary steps against Mabasa, but we could not find tangible evidence in terms of the disciplinary regulations to take any disciplinary steps against Mabasa. The report in the media indicates that we paid him 3 million rand. This is wrong, Madam Chair. And that we have paid him up until the age of 60. That is also wrong, Madam Chair. We have terminated his services, as the National Commissioner have already indicated earlier on this morning. And we only paid his actual benefits in terms of the South African Police Service Act, the Government Service Pension Act, as well as the principles in the Basic Conditions of Service Act. So from SAPS's budget, we pay him 1.1107503, which is 1 million. From the Government Employees Pension Administration Agency, the amount of 1137802 is due to him, of which 40% tax must be deducted from that amount. So that's the case with him. He was never suspended. As I'm saying to you, Madam Chair, this is the response with regard to MOBA.
The Section 35, is this what you explain? What about Section 35?
Chairperson, that's what I have tried to explain, because the National Commissioner have indicated this morning that we have terminated this service in terms of Section 35. And this is the benefits that I've explained to you that has been paid to him in terms of Section 35.
So you will not be earning any salary after those benefits?
Everybody that services has been terminated in terms of the Section 35, depending on the year service in the organization, will get a monthly pension.
I'm just going to follow up. I don't understand. Earlier it was said that there are three reasons, if I'm correct, that you can give Section 35, if I remember what the Act says. Restructuring, efficiency, and interest of the organization, if I'm not mistaken, those are the three reasons. Earlier it was said that the position where he was saying to, in terms of national headquarters of crime intelligence, you didn't get funding for that post. How? That's what was said in this meeting earlier today. I'm putting it in my own words, but that's what was said. We can check the tape recordings. How do we move somebody into a position where there are no funding for a position? And which one of those three criteria would apply in this specific case? And this case is now the one we talk about. There are many others that we need to talk, and I presume when we get to the other answers we will talk about them because we've asked those questions last week. But just explain to us in that regard the issue, please.
Yeah, and could you just clarify for me how it is, given that those three tenets are what gets one a Section 35, how is it that someone who is in the process of a criminal investigation, there's a case underway involving this person, and it hasn't been finalized, so it could be that this person is criminally guilty of something under the SAPS, and yet you've determined that a Section 35 is appropriate when the three tenets to get a 35 are not part of this. It certainly doesn't include someone being found guilty or even in being involved with a criminal investigation. So I don't see under what right you had to give this person this sort of dismissal.
Now, Chair, I just want to understand something. The years service that he supposedly had been terminated on. What were those years service? Can I just get clarity on that? What exactly is the number of years service that the benefits that General Stunder is talking about are calculated on? Can we get clarity on that?
Chairperson? The National Commissioner has indicated this morning, he was temporarily transferred to Crime Intelligence. We cannot keep the post that he came from vacant forevermore because we all know that we have a serious challenge in the Gauteng province. So he was placed in the then Crime Intelligence structure on a lateral level. So then we reorganized the Crime Intelligence environment. We have reduced the post in that environment, so we could not accommodate him in one of those posts. So his services have been terminated in terms of this Section 35A because of the abolition of his or her post. Or the reduction in the numerical strength, the reorganization or the readjustment of the service. So that's the reason where we have terminated his services. In terms of the year service that Mr. Sneerman is referring to, this individual has concluded 29 years. In terms of the GEPF, in terms of the basic conditions of service rules, it kicked in that we paid out 34 years of service. And this calculations that we made in terms of the GEPF rules. The issue with regard to the criminal investigation, Madam Chair, unfortunately, we cannot comment on that because currently it's allegations and we cannot prove at this point in time that he is involved. So the law must take its course in this regard. So the termination and the criminal investigation is two separate issues.
So what you're actually saying, General Stander, is that whilst it was possible for you to transfer him from Gauteng to Crime Intelligence, it was not possible for you to transfer him to an area where he could be transferred to. It wasn't possible. You therefore decided to terminate. It wasn't possible.
Chairperson, the possibility was there, but we have reorganized the environment and we thought that it's in the best interest of the organization that we terminate the service as a result of the abolition of the post. And this section is really making provision for it. And this section, if you go back in the history of SAPS, you will see it's not abused. It's only in 19 instances that we have paid out this Section 35.
May I just ask, this man, as you say, is under investigation. What if he is found to be guilty? Now you've paid him out. You've paid him out a million here and a million there. You've boosted his pension by whatever years that he hasn't served. You've actually dished him out a fine old pension, and he might be found guilty because you yourself say he's under investigation, a criminal investigation. This is sweeping a criminal investigation under the carpet. Well, how are you going to get the money back if he's guilty? Because you've given it to him already. I'm absolutely gobsmacked. I can't believe that you're dealing with what is basically a criminal case by paying the man off. I'm astounded.
I don't know. There's no commissioner. General Skett. I'm not scared. Done. 19 might not be a lot, but I think it is a lot to us. It is. People who are sitting at home, it's a lot for us as members of parliament. We wish there wasn't any person paid for sitting at home. Not a single one. And we're talking about senior people here. We're not talking about a constable at the station. We're talking about senior people here. And 19 is a lot. As a matter of fact, we might actually want to know as to how much then are you paying these people per month, the 19 of them. I don't know whether this one is included. How much is going to their salaries per month or to the payment that you're making per month, and how much will you shall have paid them when they reach the retirement age or the time where you've got to stop paying them? How much shall we have paid them? Because for us, that's a lot. So 19 within a very short space of time, if we were to say that is a small figure, we would be lying to you. We don't believe so. And we're talking 19 over a period of a year, one financial year, 19. I think time now is 1 o'clock. National Commissioner, the questions that have not been responded to will be responded to us in writing. We will request that we get responses at least by Friday, because we have got to adopt our BRR report on Friday. So we'll be happy to have that. Can I say that on this matter, National Commissioner, honestly speaking, we are unhappy. I would be lying if I said I don't believe that this Section 35 is not abused but misused. I think it is now a way of getting rid of any person. If the person must leave SAPS, this is becoming an option at a cost. I'm a taxpayer, and I'm paying a lot of money to SARS. I'm not even getting my salary because I'm paying half of my salary to SARS. Not for this. Really, I'm not paying for this. My salary that I'm paying to SARS can never be meant to pay people who are sitting at home, who can perform, who can work, and are sitting at home. It can never. If I had a way of revolting against it, I would. Because the money that is being deducted from my salary as I speak for 3 months by SARS, and surely justifiably so, can never pay a person who's sitting at home. I wish it was paying people who are working, and if it is a pensioner, it must be a person who's reached a stage of retirement. 19 over one financial year, general standard for us is a lot. Because if we go back to other financial years, we come to this financial year, we are worried. It is becoming a way of dealing with people who by right should be disciplined, who by right should be fired for non-performance if they're not performing. And it is becoming a trend at senior management level. We can't accept it as this portfolio committee. We cannot keep quiet and say this is correct. As a matter of fact, if this trend continues, we'll have to find a resolution as the portfolio committee. Whether to continue approving the budget that is paying those people, or to approve any part of the budget and leave that budget not approved by ourselves, so that you see it to finish as to how you're dealing with the matter. But it cannot be that this Section 35 is used as it is used. We don't think that it is used properly. I don't believe so. I believe this could have waited for this investigation to be finished. If found guilty, then the internal processes start, and then the person within the processes of SAPS, then the person is dismissed or is fired for whatever. Now we're not going to have that opportunity. sitting at home and in joining the many other people that are sitting at home, can't be working. It cannot be true. I don't believe it is true. And as a matter of fact, we'll be interested to know as to how much is department paying towards this. How much is department paying per month these people that are sitting at home, be they 19 for the financial year, but probably others again, and for this financial year, how much are you paying? And how much shall you have paid to these people when they reach their retirement age? Thank you very much. We'll meet at 2 o'clock.
No. Cannot look it too far.
Yeah? No.
Won't come to that.
Coming. After lunch. 35 to. Yeah, coming up. Yeah, the coming up of food after lunch. 19 of them. 19 of them. 19.
Yeah. 19. Yeah. 19. Oh, what am I saying here? Who could
be hot when we come back now. The chief has raised the temperature, one, right?
Mm.
And me, I'm going to be in front of that temperature now. Huh? The meeting is now hot.
The morning was nice. I don't miss, yeah.
How are you saying? I was saying to this guy, man. You know, he is just from the same way I used to. But you've made a small improvement every year. So going to be. What you say, they are good. You asking me, eh? They don't want to hear that. Don't tell them you are good.
Let them tell you.
No, let's, yeah. Let's say you are great.
As soon as you say good, you're going to... Where's the lunch?
No.
We're leaving our bags here. Are we taking our bags with us? Yeah. But let me leave this one.
Yeah, you guys are guarding it. That's why we can't leave it here.
I don't know.